I'm Chris Preston.
And I'm Brad Zimmerman.
And welcome to Street Check, the best podcast in the history of Cabot Wealth Network. Different format today. We have a guest-heavy program today. And by guests, I mean Cabot analysts, Cabot's best analysts. Of course, we're leading off with the very best, at least according to him. That is Jacob Mintz, our options guru. Jacob, welcome to your favorite podcast.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Brad. And I don't know what you were implying when you said guest heavy. I'm glad you're talking about volume of guests, not our personal weight. Thanks for having me.
That's for audio. I'll leave it to people's imaginations. But yeah, we wanted to do a sort of a quick check-in. And actually, I'll give you credit. This was sort of your idea, Jacob. Do a quick check-in, sort of around the horn with several Cabot analysts, since there's a lot going on in the market. Sort of at a market crossroads. What, you have a unique perspective because you get to see sort of behind the curtain what's happening in the options market. What is that looking like, and how does it compare to what it looked like maybe 2-3 weeks ago?
Sure. So I'm going to say something that I really hate to say, and it's so cliche, Wall Street. I'm cautiously optimistic about the market. I hate saying that, but it's kind of where I sit right now. On the cautious side, earnings season has been a bit of a mess. I mean, good gravy. There's so many earnings failures. Stocks this week that were down 10 or 30% were Datadog and Palantir and Disney and Trip and Duolingo. It's just a mess all over earnings season. And there's not really been a lot of earnings season winners, which is also concerning. At the top of my list right now are, you know, stocks like Skechers and Sprouts Farmers Market. So these are not exactly, you know, market leaders that are really exploding on earnings. And also just in the options world, it's been super quiet. There just hasn't been a lot of big call buying, which is, you know, would kind of confirm the market's advance of sorts. So that is the cautious side of things. On the positive side, the optimistic side, the market's rebounded really nicely. It's 2% from all-time highs. Banks and semiconductors, which are two sectors that I really like to see act well, they're performing well. And, you know, there's just, the market, the buyers have stepped up into, you know, that 5% market decline. Also, the VIX is at 1280, which is, you know, it's basically saying traders aren't that worried about the market falling dramatically from here. So that's kind of where I'm looking, why I'm cautiously optimistic, even though I hate saying that.
Are you seeing rotation on the options side of things? Just looking at like the equities, it very much feels like a lot of the early winners from like the last 18 months or the last, you know, year plus have been getting punished, like you said, on even earnings beats, but without really strong forward guidance. Are you seeing maybe pockets where that's not the case, or where it seems like there might be some institutional buying sort of rotating into?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brad. If, you know, in my mind's eye before this, I was going to say, you know, talk about the sectors that I'm seeing call buying and that I like the most. And it's kind of along what you said, Brad, the banks are seeing a lot of call buying activity. Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, a lot of call buying in the banks as of late. The other sector that I kind of like, which is not really my wheelhouse, but we actually have three positions in, gold is seeing call buying, the gold stocks, silver plays, copper, Freeport-McMoRan, and SCCO. These are stocks that are really seeing a lot of call buying and are breaking out. Uranium plays. I mean, stuff that, you know, I typically don't get involved with. We're seeing a lot of banks and commodity type plays seeing option activity. So that's kind of where our portfolio has been rotating to, even though that's not really my bread and butter historically.
What about utilities? I bring that up like cautiously because that is not a sector that I would ever associate with options trading, but it's been the best performing sector for the last month. And I think for the last 3 months.
Yeah. Utilities are an interesting one. Mike Santola, who's I think going to hop on the call after me, he's been pointing that sector out as, you know, one of the best sectors in the market and how that's not exactly a good sign.
Yeah.
The tough part though, is they're running because it's like third derivative AI plays, because these data centers need so much power that they're running the utilities. There is definitely call buying in that group. Now, if I'm not a gold and silver guy, I'm definitely not a utility guy. And that's, unfortunately, I've missed out on this run. But yes, that group looks spectacular.
It's almost like mixed message where, you know, usually when commodities and utilities are in favor, it's in a, those are safety plays. That's usually in a plummeting market. And yet you just said the VIX is below 13, banks are in favor, and the market's, you know, 2% off all-time highs. Is this, I mean, do you recall seeing a market similar to this? What do you attribute that to, I guess?
Well, I'm an options trader, so that means my memory goes back about a week or two. So right, that's probably okay. More of a question for Mike. He's probably better on that subject. I will say it's hard to be bearish right now with the market, you know, having a couple good weeks in a row, but I would love to see some growth stocks in gear, and we are just not seeing that now. But I do like the banks. I do like when the semiconductors have bounced really nicely. Taiwan Semiconductor, which is one of the most important semiconductor companies in the world, is, you know, within a dollar or two or something like that of all-time highs. So cautiously optimistic. I hate to say it, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm sorry that's not a great answer, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And do you have a trade or two that you like that sort of stands out to you now, whether it's particular stock or sector?
Yeah, I mean, not to keep going back to this, but I like Freeport-McMoRan. The stock is basically at a new high, and Wall Street is, you know, every research report that comes out is saying copper is the next big play because it has a, it works in a green environment, but it also works in a defense. Copper is needed to make missiles and stuff like that. So that's above my pay grade, but I know that Wall Street is all over it, and Freeport and SCCO are almost at new highs. And like I said, the banks, there's call buying in Citigroup every single day, Wells Fargo every single day. So that's really where those, if I were to loosely say, you know, sectors, I would say copper and the banks right now.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting take. I haven't considered the defense angle on copper. I did see a recent research report talking about significant production gaps and just commodity availability gaps for copper as well. You know, you have to sort of wonder how much is getting bumped by a lot of our infrastructure spending, and like how much room does that have? But it certainly feels like something with a lot of room to continue running. You know, like you said, with growth stocks, we're seeing a lot of choppiness, and it's kind of toppy and doesn't seem to have a lot of white space ahead of it. But the commodity plays, especially like industrial commodity plays, I would agree 100%, seem like they still have a lot of room to run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really too focused on, you know, where copper goes. I read the research reports also. I'm just watching the stocks and the option activity, and both are pointing, look like there's a room to run. So that's why I get it. I leave the high level thinking for you, Brad.
Well, the high level thinking is not good in the short term. So So listen to Jacob in the short term and listen to me in the long term.
All right. So yeah. So your message now is basically, you know, ride the hot hands, at least if you're a trader or option, you know, particularly options trader, copper, gold, utilities, banks, you know, those are really the only things that are hot right now, right?
Not sexy, but we're not here to, you know, to look super smart. We're here to make money and follow the trends. So that's where we're going.
Great. Well, thanks, Jacob. Appreciate you hopping on really quick. And we'll move on next to, as Jacob mentioned, Mike Santolo in just a minute. All right. We welcome on Mike Santolo, Cabot's chief investment strategist and chief analyst of Cabot Growth Investor and Cabot Top 10 Trader. Mike, this is a bull market. It doesn't feel like a bull market, or at least not the way it did after five up months from November through March. You know, we're seeing, we just had Jacob Mintz on. He talked about that the only things he's seeing interest in the options market are gold, copper, silver, utilities, uranium, and the banks. Growth stocks are having more of a tough time, but are you seeing some light at the end of the tunnel here?
I think so. I mean, I agree with what he said. Yes, it's... I just got finished doing the weekly review video, and it was kind of like, things are better. It's been three good weeks. Overall evidence has improved. But yeah, there's a lot of like defensive stocks. Down. It's like, you know, those days where it's like the Dow Industrials are up 400 and the NASDAQ's up 25. And you're like, you know, at least for my stuff, you know. That said, it's not, I don't think it's unusual to get some indigestion and stuff that went up 75% over 5 months or whatever the hell, you know, during from November, December, January and all that. You know, and there might be some more interest rate plays and gambling on the Fed. So I think the correction, we dipped 8% in the NASDAQ. I mean, I think the odds favor that was the low. Do we have some more wiggling around coming and news-driven action based on the Fed and inflation reports and all this crap? Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? So I'm going slow, but I don't, you know, I just think it is what it is, just what you said. It's not a market to pile into if you're a growth guy or gal. But it's also, you know, the long-term trend is up for the market and for most of these stocks. And some of them are trying to come out of the correction, but it doesn't have to be as clean. I wish every buy signal was as good as November, right? Where it's just,
right,
you can't keep up with all the stock. Oh my God, did you see, Jacob's like, oh, did you see the stock? No, I didn't. It's gapped. Oh my God. This isn't that type of market, but that's not, it's not totally unusual here. So.
Are you seeing any standouts on like the earnings front, any kind of consistency across the companies that are, you know, one thing we talked to Jacob about was a lot of companies taking haircuts on missing and then weak guidance, but not a ton of pops. Have you been seeing anything where you've got a consistent theme where it's like, okay, well, if, you know, companies are coming out beating and raising, like that's the criteria, anything along those lines?
No, but I mean, in terms of themes, I would say some of the retail stuff, restaurants and whatnot. I don't know if it's earnings, but that's a little bit more consistent, I guess, since the market bottom. There's been some actual power there. But no, it's just been, there's been some gap downs and stuff, but it's also been these things that gap up. And don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, like Robinhood, I mentioned on the video, was on my watch list and it's like gaps up. I mean, it's an $18 stock. So it gapped up a point, which is a decent move, right? Or a point and a half. And then it finished down 50 cents. We just see a lot of that, where it gaps up 10 points and finishes up three, you know, that sort of thing. So it's just been more, I just would say it's sloppier. It's not everyone's rowing in the same direction, I guess is the way I would put it. But earnings moves have been, it's been tricky. I mean, there's been a lot of blowups. There's been a lot of selling on strength. There's been a lot of selling on strength and the stock goes up Celsius got hit. And then it found support, but then it was down the next day, I think, and now it's ramping. You know, so it's a lot of that sort of herky-jerky. I think the closer you are to things right now, I don't want to say the worse, but the closer you are to things, you're going to get whipped out on some of these. The stocks are moving around 3 or 4% on nothing, you know.
It feels sort of similar. I think it was, Ryan and I were talking about this offline. I think we couldn't remember 100%, but I think it was after the second quarter earnings season last year, July, August, when similar thing was happening, where earnings were, any company that reported good, just good or less earnings got sold off. Unless you reported like, you know, jaw-dropping earnings, you got sold off. And that followed a similar up period in the market. I think it was like last May and June, mostly AI-driven, Magnificent Seven. It wasn't as broad a rally as we just saw. Do you think it's a similar phenomenon where like there's so much was already priced in to these stocks that anything shy of, you know, a wow earnings report is getting sold off?
I think it's a similar phenomenon. I think last July was in August was like one of the worst earnings seasons I can remember. Now, maybe the ones in 2022 were worse, but we weren't invested much. So, you know, when everything was getting killed, but that was bad. That was really bad. This one I wouldn't say is that bad, nearly as bad, but it is the same sort of thing where no matter what you report, I shouldn't say that. I mean, like today there's some stocks that are popping, but for the most part, even if it's great numbers, great this, great that, like I said, it might gap up 10%, but closes up 3%, which is like, I'll take, don't get me wrong, but you know, it still seems like there's some selling on strength out there, which makes sense. There's probably still some repositioning after 5 months up. Institutions are trying to reposition, trim this position, buy that sort of thing. So,
any beneficiaries that you're seeing from that repositioning, whether it's individual names or if it's sectors?
Just what Jacob said, honestly, is I am seeing some decent setups in like, you know, copper and like United Airlines, and I don't really follow uranium as much, but you know, just some of that stuff, just kind of if you drop it and it falls on your foot, it hurts sort of thing, like old world type names.
Yeah.
So I think those are the beneficiaries, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's more descriptive than predictive at this point. I mean, the longer it goes on, I mean, don't get me wrong. We come in next week and it's horrible. You start to put 101 together. You're like, okay, maybe we still have some more futzing around to do. But I also think that we could come in on Tuesday and there's a rotation out of banks and into whatever, right? Cybersecurity. And like, it's like, wow, this is great. You know? So I think right now that's just basically what I see.
Yeah. Under the surface, you know, some of the indicators are, you know, still pretty bullish. I mean, Jacob mentioned that the VIX is below 13 now. And I think you wrote this morning that one of your indicators is the number of new 52-week lows on the New York Stock Exchange. And is that combined New York Stock Exchange and
New York? Yeah.
Just 2 seconds. Okay. NYSE has been consistently less than 40, which is sort of a bullish sign for you. What other indicators are you seeing that are suggesting that, you know, this is just sort of a temporary pause / malaise?
Well, I haven't seen like there's earnings misses. Don't get me wrong, but like Datadog's down or whatever. That was on my watch list. That got hit on earnings, Robinhood, that sort of thing. But I don't look at that action. I look at that action and say that stock's either might not be a leader or it might not be ready now or whatever. But I'm not looking at like, oh, it's Nvidia and some leading chip stock. You know, Nvidia reports earnings and it's down 24%. It's like, whoa, that's like a shot across the bow for the institutional investors. You know, I'm not seeing that abnormal action in the market, individual stocks, stuff like that. And I just think the fact that we've recouped, you know, we've recouped 80 or whatever percent of the decline, it's a good sign. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're going to go up the next 5 weeks in a row, but I mean, it's overall, the bad sign would have been like, we're oversold, we can't bounce, you know, instead we bounced right away. I would say there was one, it's too short term for me. It was like a 3-day breadth thrust. There was some study on, but it was interesting and it tends to, you know, lead well. So we've seen a good stuff from the broad market. And my guess is it's going to help the market going forward. You know, how that plays into growth stocks, we'll see. But most of the evidence is positive. It's just a matter of, you know, if you have your 401k, I guess, you know, the long-term trend is up or whatever, but it's just, if you're buying a individual growth stock that can move around 5% a day, you want to get the timing somewhat right, you know? So
have you been looking at volumes at all? One thing that I've been looking at in the last like 10 days, right? It's sell and may go away. Volumes have seemed pretty low across the board, especially index level. Are you getting any kind of signal on that front? This is a selfish question, but
it's not an indicator or anything, but yes, it's been low volume. And I think more important than the indexes is just, yeah, there's been a lot of stocks that have just kind of wedged, they call it sort of into resistance here. Again, it's more descriptive than predictive, but I'd prefer to see like volume clusters and stuff. There's not a lot of what I call volume, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row, big volume. There's some of those on earnings, but there's not a lot of that where you're like, oh, okay, this has probably turned the corner. Maybe it pulls back a little bit. We're seeing a lot of stuff just kind of almost get pulled up by the major indexes at this point, at least in growth land. But you're right. Yeah, it's been low volume, but we'll see what happens. Again, we come in next week. It's a stupid thing to say, but like if we come in next week and it changes, it could change and it would be bullish, but we kind of want to see some more conviction on the buy side.
So sort of a lack of piling in.
There's not a lot of power. Yeah. I don't get the sense that, to use my, you know, I always say Fidelity and T. Rowe Price, but I don't get the sense that XYZ pension fund, mutual fund, hedge fund, big hedge fund people are, you know, in some sort of major buying panic phase on anything, to be honest with you. Doesn't mean they're not buying, but it's not some like, you know, major kickoff on the upside, at least at this point.
What are a couple of stocks that, you know, aren't necessarily in your portfolios, growth investor or top 10 trader portfolios, but are on your watch list that might be worth listeners keeping an eye on?
Okay. Well, I mean, I've been watching like this is an obvious one, but like the Eli Lilly, I mean, it's not an unknown story. I usually prefer things that are a little less known, but I don't know. I tend to think it's just can play out you know, over time. The trends go longer than expected, sort of thing. So that's set up pretty well. There's a lot of, you know, there's some retail names I'm watching. I'm trying to think of things that haven't been in either issue, but like, I guess some infrastructure stuff. Core and Main is one, CNM, right. Sterling yeah. Infrastructure. You know, some of those things can be, depends how you want to run your ship. Like if, to me, if I have 10 stocks, I don't want 10 fastballs, you know, it's just, it's going to be hard to handle. So you'd like to have, I'm not going to have five infrastructure stocks, but like, you know, if you have one infrastructure stock, one, you know, big cat Eli Lilly, say, you know, that's a little bit less volatile percentage wise. That can kind of make it good, but yeah, no, there's kind of like broad strength, but it's not like powerful strength. That's sort of, you know, infrastructure looks pretty good. Some retail looks pretty good, but other retail doesn't. So that's kind of it.
What's your signal for resumption of maybe broader buying? Like if you had to pick one thing to look for to be like, okay, this is telling me that we're in a more robust bull market. What are you looking at?
Well, I mean, my stuff is geared toward my stuff. So, but I would just say I look at the growth, we call it the growth tides, but so like the equal weight NASDAQ 100 or the momentum fund, which is symbol MTUM, and the IPO fund, and just some set like the IBD 50 index. So if those things really get ahead of steam going, that's going to coincide. That's number one, but that's also going to coincide with, I mean, I have a lot of stocks that are set up.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I mean, I keep saying this, but we come in next Tuesday or whatever, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. And three of them are breaking out. It's like, okay, let's do some buy, you know, like, I think it's going to be more getting pulled in like that. Most of the evidence is I mean, you know, I don't want to sound too, I'm not too cautious. I think growth is a little laggy here and it's had a good run and it's a little sloppy, but shorter term, but I think big picture is good. And I think the market's right near its highs. I mean, you can do a hell of a lot worse than that. So I'm looking to buy. I just kind of want a little bit more confirmation. That's all.
Last question before you let you go. As a diehard long time Patriots fan, did the Tom Brady roast warm your heart or did it hurt your feelings a little bit?
I was shocked. I actually didn't even watch it. I wasn't watching it live. I think I might have been watching the Bruins or something, or I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that night, but then all my buddies started texting. So yep. I turned it on a little bit. Of course, my son was in the room. So after about 5 minutes, I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to, I'll watch this tomorrow morning or whatever. Yeah. But no, I thought it was great. And it was actually kind of much more of a Patriot. I didn't know it was going to be like all the Patriots, old Patriots there. So it was kind of fun. And yep. Belichick and stuff like that. So I didn't watch the whole, it was like 3 hours, you know, but right. I heard about, you know, I watched Bledsoe and, you know, Peyton Manning, obviously Brady and a couple of these guys or whatever. So Belichick, you know, so it was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm glad you're approved. Yeah. Mike, thanks for that. And hopefully, you know, we start seeing some of the momentum pick up here in the coming weeks. So if it happens next Tuesday, like you said, we'll think the market will be in a good place.
Yeah, I'll be back on whenever you want me. So have a good weekend, guys.
All right. Thanks, you too. All right. Now we welcome in Michael Brush, who is chief analyst of our Cabot Cannabis Investor Advisory. Michael, we've had you on a few times in recent months because it's felt like the cannabis dam has been about to break for weeks, months, really, mostly based on rescheduling cannabis from a class one drug to a class three, approved by or recommended, I guess, by HHS. Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't remember the acronym. And now in the hands of the DEA. Last week, there was a report that DEA was on the cusp of approving it, and cannabis stocks shot through the roof, up, you know, 25% or more in one day, 30%. Right. And then they dropped back almost to where they were prior to that. So it hasn't happened yet. Is this happening?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. And it's going to be in fits and starts. You know, I don't know if cannabis is safe. I'm not an expert on that. But I do know that cannabis investing causes bipolar disorder for sure.
Yes.
And right now we're in the severe depressed state. And, you know, it's funny how people say, oh, well, there's no institutional investors, so it's all retail, so they're too emotional. And I mean, it's true, but in my experience, you know, if you think of like the October 22 lows or the GFC lows, you know, that wasn't retail being emotional. That was the supposedly unemotional institutional investor. So I think everybody's guilty of emotion. I think it's a little bit of a cheap shot to say, oh, it's retail. They're flighty. But they are, but so are institutionals. And so, you know, it's interesting to watch the kind of thought leaders, the opinion leaders, kind of go out and latch on to ideas that are either like super positive or super negative. So right now, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, they've referred rescheduling to the OMB, which is the Office of Management and Budget, which kind of took everybody by surprise, but they actually do have a role in regulatory change. And so people went out and found this OMB dashboard that is supposedly their list of regulatory activity they're looking at. And it's not there. And so everybody's like, oh, no, it's not going to happen. But if you look at the history of this dashboard, without going into the weeds, this is a type of regulatory change that will never appear on that dashboard. And so
that's the DEA calling to tell you it's happening.
Yeah, exactly. and so... So they've latched onto that. And then yesterday, Jean-Pierre, the press secretary at the White House, was asked if Biden was on board with rescheduling. And she basically said he has no opinion. And that kind of freaked everybody out, too. But of course he has an opinion. He wants it done to get votes. But he's being accused of being too political in the process by opponents of cannabis reform. So he's going to naturally come out and say, let the regulators decide. It's not my decision, but of course it is. And so, so that's kind of where we stand now. So I believe, I don't know exactly when, but I believe very soon the DEA will publish a proposed rule and boom, it'll be another 25% gain, 30% gain in an instant in these stocks. And that's kind of where we are now. So they look very viable now, cannabis. And so just to wrap up, the benchmarks I like to use is the MSOS and MSOX, kind of represent the sector to me. And so, my rule is when the MSOS is trading around 850 to 9 and the X is, you know, like 4 to 5, that's kind of right now, that's kind of the extreme negative. You know, year to date, that's kind of where the group bottoms. And so, and that's where we are now. So I think the group is viable here.
Now, rescheduling is one of two sort of catalysts that you've written about in the past. Right. One of the others that seems to be gaining traction again is safer banking. You know, that one obviously offers some benefit to accounting treatment for cannabis companies. Do you have a sense of maybe where we are with you hate to have to bring politics into it, but that's the reality of being a cannabis investor. Do you have a sense on maybe where legislation with safer banking stands?
Well, Chuck Schumer has been saying that he's on board with getting it done soon. It's passed the banking committee in the Senate, and it sounds like he wants to bring it to a full vote in the Senate, either by putting it in a funding bill for the FAA or some other mechanism. But, you know, that one's been kind of circling forever, and people get their hopes up about it and then they're dashed. It's pretty hard to predict what politicians are going to do. But yeah, that's a possibility. That's definitely a possibility here. Yes.
And Michael, you've had success. You just mentioned, you know, the levels at which the MSOS and MSOX are where they've been sort of viable, which they're at now. Right. You've had a lot of success buying on these dips. When, you know, I think we talk about cannabis on this podcast every time things are going down. Well, and then you buy when things are going poorly, and that's worked out pretty well for you. I think you've average of like 70% pop on all the times you bought?
Yes, using the MSOX the past six times, and this, by the way, right now is number seven. The past six times within 3 to 4 weeks, the MSOX was up 70%. So, you know, that's where we are now. We're at this extreme negative, and it'll flip. It'll flip at some point when there's, you know, when there's a break in the news. Now, this is going to continue because Let's say DEA does rescheduling, you know, and let's say it gets it done before, you know, kind of the goal is September 1 now, because that's when early voting starts. So, but it's going to be immediately appealed in the courts after it becomes a rule. And that's going to happen in a fifth district, and which is basically the South, because that those judges are more amenable to resisting cannabis reform. And that's going to be a fight. I know the lawyers who are going to get involved on behalf of cannabis companies. Initially, it'll be suits against the DEA, but the cannabis companies will join in the suit because it affects them. They'll be able to do that. And that's going to be a bitter battle. And cannabis needs to win that, because from the Fifth Circuit on this type of appeal, the next step is the Supreme Court. And they're probably not going to take this up. You know, they get so many demands for cert to have issues go before the court. So, you know, the bottom line is there's going to be plenty of ups and downs. It's a great trading group. And right now they're down, bipolar, depressed. And to me, that means it's viable. That's where we are right now.
Brad, do you have anything else? I guess the other thing I was going to ask... all this sort of the bipolar nature has happened in the absence of a true catalyst, but waiting on this big one and rescheduling and potentially safer banking. Do you think that'll sort of change once rescheduling happens, or certainly both? Do you think that'll up the floor for cannabis stocks? Like, do you think we'll be in sort of a different stratosphere, or until that process you just described is sorted out, you think it'll still sort of be the back and forth to where the lows are right around this area?
Yeah, I think we go to back and forth again because of the appeals. You know, it's going to be it's going to be appealed. The DE, whatever the DEA rules, it's going to be a simple rule. We move from SCED 1 to SCED 3 under the CSA, the you know, the Nixon era Drug Act, and but it's going to be challenged in court, and everybody's going to sell on that. So so that's how that's going to go. You know, it's just a great trading group right now. Ultimately, I think what you're saying is ultimately, do we kind of hit a new level of acceptability of cannabis? And yeah, I believe that's going to be the case, because, you know, polls consistently show that people want cannabis reform. Now, there's a whole debate in, you know, the theory of democracy, whether people should get what they want, right? Like, people could all want like free heroin, but that doesn't mean politicians should give that to them, right? In fact, they probably shouldn't. So there, that's a whole debate about whether politicians should always respond to the popular will. But certainly the popular, and that's a debate that'll be had, but certainly the popular will is there for cannabis reform. You know, there are some medical benefits, apparently, because doctors prescribe it. So it's probably true. There's no FDA approved. There are a few for like epilepsy. But anyway, yeah, I think ultimately, but it's going to continue to be up and down as we get to that that state.
Are you worried that the election might be an overhang? Because, like, just sort of gaming this out. Right. Let's say we get the DEA proposed rule announced, you know, in the next couple of months. I know you've talked about there being some firm deadlines there. Then you get, so that's a swing up, excellent trade, probably get a swing down after you get the lawsuits. Is then that, is November like a hard deadline where there's, where we have the potential of maybe a binary outcome with the election? Is that something that you're concerned about?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because there's a point in August, and I don't know the exact date, after which it becomes harder for the next administration to go in and overturn actions of the prior administration. It's somewhere in the middle of August. So ideally, they'd want to get it done by then. You know, actually, any of this could happen through January 20th or whatever it is when, you know, power changes. But, you know, partly what you're asking is what happens if Trump comes in and, you know, he's not super favorable to cannabis reform. So the election will be really significant in that sense. That's kind of why the Biden administration wants to rush to get this done, you know, before the election. It's partly also they want to time it so that they can claim this victory, you know, right when people are making up their minds on who to vote for. So those would be the election angles to this, I believe.
Michael, thanks for joining us. This is the rare time we've had you on when cannabis has been down. So this is probably one of the first times that you actually should buy it. we've had you on, but appreciate it. People can read you, Cabot Cannabis Investor, which is on the CabotWealth.com site. And you also have a column on MarketWatch. Is it Brush Up on Stocks?
That's my own personal letter. Yes, it's exactly what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for joining us. And thanks everyone for joining this week's sort of around the horn check-in with several Cabot analysts. And we will be back next week with another episode of Street Check.